This is Charlie Riggs of the Billy Graham team, coming to you with lesson number 3 of the Billy Graham Relay Counseling Lectures. Tonight we'll be talking about the scriptures in counseling. Just before we begin, shall we bow in a word of prayer? Now then, why use the scriptures in counseling? The first thing I point out is the importance of documentation. In other words, we need to show people what we believe theologically. And therefore, we need to know where Bible truths are found. And when we are presenting the gospel, when we're presenting the plan of salvation, we want to show people God's forgiveness. We want to show them how to receive Christ and eternal life. We need to know the scriptures and be able to point to them in the counseling room. We use the scriptures to teach doctrine. For example, the doctrine of sin and grace. It's through the scriptures that we learn we are sinners. Romans 5:12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." The Bible says so. Romans 5:12. And so we learn of the doctrine of sin through the scriptures. And when we want to show someone that we are all in sin, then we need to open up to the scriptures to document our theological knowledge. The doctrine of grace, salvation by grace, you will find from Genesis to Revelation. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so, through the scriptures, once again, we learn of the doctrine of grace. We learn to know God. We learn to know how to come to Christ. And in order to point people to the Savior, we need to be able to document what we believe. I would like to point out a danger in using scriptures, perhaps promiscuously. We certainly cannot base our teaching or our doctrine on a single verse of Scripture, nor should we base it on some particular book necessarily or chapter of truth. We are instructed to rightly divide or rightly analyze the word of truth. And in Isaiah, we learn, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little." And so we must base our doctrine, we must base our belief on the whole scriptures, and be faithful in rightly analyzing and taking our teaching from the scriptures as a whole. We point out that rarely does one book or one chapter contain a complete doctrine. You learn of sin and grace from Genesis to Revelation. If you want to study the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll find the work of the Spirit in several books. Some in Ephesians, some in Corinthians, and in Romans. And so we must carefully analyze and study the whole Bible and form and base our doctrine or our teaching on the whole Bible. And we trust that you will find that these passages that we are presenting to you and asking you to learn will conform to the uniform testimony of the Bible throughout. And I challenge you to do as the people of Berea, who after they heard Paul speak, they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. Now then, the scriptures in building the Christian life. We point out that we need the scriptures for a proper foundation in the Christian life, and then for a proper building upon that foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11, Paul points out that that foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so, in order for us to bring a person to a solid decision for Jesus Christ and to have a solid foundation, we must use the Scriptures. And then secondly, to build upon that foundation. In the same passage in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, Paul points out very clearly that we must build upon this foundation with silver, gold, and precious stone if our work is to stand in the judgment. If our work is with hay, wood, and stubble, our work will not stand. Therefore, if we are to bring a person to a place of trust in Jesus Christ, we must use the Scriptures. And if we are to build upon this foundation vessels of honor, men of character, and men of usability, then we must use the Scriptures in our counseling. There's the parable in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, of the two foundations, the one that was built upon the rock. We learn that the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the winds beat upon the house, and it stood. The other house, it was built upon the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, the wind beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Therefore, we point out the fact that we must use the Scriptures in bringing a person to the initial commitment and then building upon that commitment. Now, our third point tonight, the prime purpose of Scriptures, and in a sense we have mentioned that in this previous point, but it comes out very clearly here. The prime purpose of Scripture is for A, faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from a little child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so the Bible has been given to us primarily to help us come to know and trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to relate to mankind that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and so on. And then secondly, the Scripture was given to us for practice. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so after we come to Christ, then as we daily read the Scriptures and we're taught in the Scriptures, we find a correcting taking place in our life, a bit of reproving from time to time as we get out of line. And then we get an instruction day by day to teach us new truths so that we can walk more uprightly and day by day mature in our Christian experience. Now, it's like taking a new employee. The manager gives him a bit of indoctrination into the work, and then he instructs him and he trains him that the employee might more properly represent and serve the firm and company. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing and has done and will be doing through the Scripture, bringing people to a knowledge of himself and then instructing them that they might more properly represent the Savior here on earth. For truly, we do have the responsibility day by day to glorify God by our life. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isaiah 43:7 points that out, that we are here to represent properly and to glorify God by our life. Now the next point, we cover the importance of Scripture. And I've got that broken down, first of all, from the divine standpoint. Why are the Scriptures so important? First of all, the Scriptures are our authority. And again, I cite 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have God's authorities that we're using night by night in the counseling room and day by day as we talk to people about their relationship to Christ. This is what God, the Creator, has to say about salvation. This is what God has to say about sin and so on. The Scriptures are our only authority. They're our anchor for our faith. And so we must use the Scriptures in order to present to individuals what God has to say about sin and salvation. The next point under the importance of Scripture from the divine standpoint is their dynamic, the force of operation that we find present when the Scriptures are being used. Hebrews 4:12 points out that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And when the Scripture is faithfully used, it becomes the weapon of the Holy Spirit, as pointed out in Ephesians 6:17, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so there's a definite dynamic to our counseling when we use the Scriptures. People don't even need to believe in God or believe in the Scriptures. It doesn't matter. When we use the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit gives the Scriptures dynamic, and as Hebrews 4:12 points out, it drives right down into where a man lives, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Here we have an awful weapon in our hand when we are using the Scripture. I remember a chemist in San Francisco, a laboratory chemist. His testimony after his decision was this. He said, "I said that I would have to prove God in a test tube. I couldn't be convinced that you could know God simply by going forward in a meeting and asking him to come into your heart." He said to me, "That was just emotional." He said, "One night, the young people of our church went along, young married couples, and he said, I went along just as sort of an onlooker, and he said, I was determined in my mind that nothing would happen to me. And he said, I went through the whole message, and certainly God did speak to me, and I certainly felt at times something working in my life, but I was determined that when Dr. Graham called people forward, I would not go forward. I would not be taken in by any emotional tug or pull." And he said, "The invitation was given." And he said, "I sat there." And he said, "People began to go forward. And I waited and waited and waited. And the Word of God began to work in my life and began to convince me that I was a sinner, just like the other people going forward, and that I needed a Savior, just like the other people that were moving forward." And he said, "Finally, I could stand it no longer." He said, "There was a dynamic that pulled me forward and made me go forward with the rest of the people." And truly, that is the dynamic of the Word of God. And we can rest assured when we are faithfully using the Word of God, whether people believe the Bible or not, or whether they have reservations, when we plant the seed of the Word, God will use it. And that is brought out in this third point, the fruitfulness of Scripture from the divine standpoint. God points out in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God has promised to bless and to prosper his holy word when it is used in our counseling. Just as the farmer drops the seed in prepared soil, God rains upon the seed and brings sunshine upon the seed, and it bears fruit. I'm reminded of a couple in Detroit who were going to the university there. One night they came into the meeting, and after the counseling was all over, they engaged a counselor in a conversation. And the counselor was having a little difficulty with them, and he brought them over to me, Now, these people hadn't come forward, but they had remained a long time after the meeting discussing the message and so on. And so the first thing I did after learning their name was ask them why they had come. And they said, well, we just came along to hear Dr. Graham. We know that he's a controversial figure, and we've been talking over this business of heaven and hell, and we just came along to see what he had to say about it. And so I said, well, now, have you trusted the Savior yourself? And they said, well, we think we're good Christians. And I said, well, now, more than anything else, do you have peace in your heart tonight that you're right with God? And the fellow, the husband, said, yes, we sure do have peace. And his wife at that point gave him a big nudge. She said, we do not. We've been sitting up nights talking about this thing, and we've been bothered about this business of eternal life and about heaven and hell. Now, in school, our professor tells us that you can't believe all the Bible, so we don't know what we can believe and what we can't believe. And so I said, well, you accept the Scriptures. And the fellow said, no. He said, frankly, we don't. Well, we may believe in what Jesus might have to say, but we're not sure about the other Scripture and the authority of Scripture. So rather than to open up the Scriptures and point to them one passage after the other, I gave them my own testimony. And I started out with Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I said, surely you people tonight are seeking peace in your heart and soul, are you not? And they agreed to that. I said, well, I can tell you how to find peace in your heart and soul. And I proceeded then to tell them how I lived a long part of my life, many years of my life, apart from a knowledge of the Savior. And as I was going along, I just very carefully planted the Word of God as I was illustrating a point. Carefully planted the fact of sin, and carefully planted the fact that we were separated from God by sin, and that the reason we had no peace is because we were actually at enmity with God. And so for about a half hour, I talked to this young couple, and after we parted that evening, we were quite good friends. The following Tuesday evening, the wife came forward and received Christ as her Savior. And the following Friday evening, the husband was in there, receiving Christ as his Savior. Now here were a couple who said they couldn't accept the Bible. And yet by faithfully planting the seed, believing in the dynamic of the Scripture, God blessed, and he did as he said he would do. He would not let the seed return void. And so, from the divine standpoint, we have here the importance of Scripture. Let's look at the importance of Scripture from the human standpoint, or from man's standpoint. Why is it important to man? First of all, we'll point out that it's through the Scriptures that we are regenerated, or that we come into the family of God. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so the new birth, regeneration, takes place when we mix the Word with faith through the Holy Spirit. We cannot be born again without a knowledge of sin, without a knowledge of our need of salvation, without a knowledge of how to be saved. And the Scriptures point out all of these things. It's through the Scriptures we come to a realization of our sin. It's through the Scriptures that we come to realization that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he is our only Savior. And then it's through the Scriptures that we learn how to receive Christ as our Savior, as we've pointed out with these various passages. And so from man's standpoint then, the Scriptures are of utmost importance because they bring us to a place of trust in the Lord Jesus and eternal life. Now then, after a man is born again, comes into God's family, there is the growth problem. And just as a child is born physically into the family, and you have the next step of growth, so so in the Christian life. When a man is born into God's family, he comes in as a baby, as a child. And he needs to grow spiritually. And the Scripture is food for our souls, food for the inner man. Paul told the folk in the book of Acts, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." We stated that the Scriptures were for faith and practice, and that the Scriptures reproved us when we needed reproving. They corrected us when we needed correcting. They instructed us in the ways of righteousness that we might come to a place of maturity before God, to a place where we could be used in every good work. That's pointed out in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And so the Scriptures are important if we are to grow daily in the Lord. And then thirdly, cleansing. John 15:3 points out, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And so we need a cleansing from the daily defilement, just as a child needs cleansing. He goes out to play, the mother calls him in for a meal, and though he hates to do it, our children anyway do, he needs to go to have a wash and to wash off the dirt that he has gathered out at play. Now the Christian goes forth to the office, and he goes forth to work, and he mixes day by day with the world and comes in contact with it. And he must have a wash, a spiritual wash day by day to cleanse him from the defilement. If he doesn't, then the world around him begins to take a mark on his life, on his thought life. And the first thing you know, we are beginning to take part in the world around us. And so a cleansing day by day is necessary, and the Scriptures do just that for us. The psalmist points out, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Then the Scriptures are important in a life of victory. We pointed out in Lesson 2 how Jesus met temptation in the wilderness because he was well equipped with the word of God. And when Satan tempted Jesus, each time the Lord said, "It is written," and he quoted to him from his knowledge of the Old Testament. He knew exactly what was right. He knew exactly what was wrong. And in a time of temptation, he took the right course of action. And when we have the Word of God dwelling richly in our heart by faith, the Holy Spirit brings the truth to our remembrance, and we know just what to do in time of test. We know how to choose which is right over that which is wrong. And so we have victory then over temptation and sin through the Scripture. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee," in Psalm 119:11. Then we have understanding through the Scriptures, and understanding is very important to our daily life if we are to have peace and joy and to be able to be integrated individuals. And as we point out here, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And it's through the Scriptures that we learn of redemption, how a lost, sinful man can be redeemed and have eternal life, can have forgiveness of his sins. People around the world are seeking this type of understanding. And I have traveled around the world in the past few years in this work, and I have seen people all over the world seeking God and trying to understand God and trying to find a solution to their problems. Well, the Scriptures point out all of these things and help us to know God and to have peace in our heart. Someone has said that we have penetrated the ultimate in reality when we can say, "I know where I came from. I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going." And the Scriptures answer all of these three things for us when we are faithful in searching the Scriptures. I trust that you have a real understanding of these facts that we're covering here tonight, and that as you memorize the Scripture day by day, God will give you a very definite and wonderful understanding of them. I use an illustration of of just knowing things by rote. There was a professor in the South, in the States, who was a religious man, and day by day, as he brought his children together to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, he taught them little scriptural truths, and each day the children, small children, would line up precisely in the same order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in several rows. And this man was sort of short-sighted, and he couldn't see them too clearly. He knew they were out there, and he would review these truths that he taught the children day after day. The first one he taught, God made you. And he'd say, who made you? And the little boy would say, God. The next boy he taught, Adam was the first man. And he'd say, who was the first man? The little boy would say, Adam. The third boy he taught that Samson was the strongest man. Who is the strongest man? Samson. And day after day after day, he would review these truths with these children in the same order. And one morning he heard the preacher out in the hall, so he decided he would call a preacher in and show him that he was doing a little bit of theological training here too. And so as he went out for the preacher, the first boy on the row slipped out to get a drink of water. And the professor, who couldn't see too far very clearly, brought the preacher back in and he said, sit down now, Pastor, I want to show you that I've been teaching the children here a little theology day by day. So he turns over and he looks and he says to the first boy in a row, who made you? And the boy said, Adam. And the teacher said, now let's try that over again. He said, who made you, little boy? He said, Adam. He said, no, now that isn't what I've been teaching you. Let's try it once more. Who made you? The little boy said, Adam. He said, now, little boy, Adam didn't make you. God made you. And the little boy quickly said, no, sir. God made that other little boy that just went out the door. And so I hope that we have a better understanding than that. Now then, we have a few minutes left tonight to talk about how to know and retain Scripture. Much more time needs to be spent on this, but we will go over it very quickly. First of all, there are three methods primarily of intake that we will cover tonight at any rate. Three methods of intake or gaining knowledge. One is hearing. We hear the Scripture. We hear the Word preached. We hear it taught. And through fellowship, we hear others giving testimony to the Scriptures. Now, if we depend entirely on hearing, then we do not have a very great knowledge of the Bible. Educators in America tell us that we retain only 10% of what we hear. And so we must do more than hear. We must go on to reading. We ought to have a daily reading program and devotion, reading the Scriptures over and over and over again through the Bible. We ought to be ones who have read the New Testament several times at any rate, or be in the process of reading through the New Testament. Educators again point out that we retain from 20 to 40% of what we read. And so I would encourage you definitely to have a good reading program day by day where you are reading at least a chapter a day. And then, thirdly, another method of intake or gaining knowledge is study. Educators tell us that we retain 60% of what we study. We need to develop good study habits. I've pointed out here two things, that the Bible is a gold mine. And if you look up Psalms 119, 162, you find David saying, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoils. The Bible is full of nuggets. We must dig them out or mine them day by day. And Proverbs 2, 1 to 6 tells us how to mine them. We need to cry after knowledge and lift up our voice for understanding. Seek knowledge as we would treasure, and search for it as we would for silver. Then we will find the knowledge of God. And so we must be faithful in our study program. Then we have the methods of retention. And we mentioned number one, memorize or memory work. And of course, if we have done it properly, we will retain 100% of what we have memorized. Here we find David stating, or the psalmist, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Colossians tells us to let the word of Christ dwell richly in our heart by faith. That's why we have been stressing memory work for you and endeavoring to get you to memorize the Scripture night by night so that you will retain the knowledge that we have been presenting to you in these lectures. Or you could read over a book over and over and over again in your daily reading, underlying and listing key passages. Review the key passages over and over again until you know them. It's through association and repetition and impression that a footpath is more or less worn across our gray matter, our brain. And so let's keep going over and over and over again on these verses, adding more to them as we go along. I call it more or less stocking the shelves of our heart, like a groceryman stocks the shelves of his store to meet the needs of people as they come in day by day. Then finally, meditation. And I trust that you will take and spend some time looking up these scriptures that we have listed for you here. Meditation always promises success and prosperity. Joshua 1:8 tells us to take God's word, to meditate in it, to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. For then, he says, we will have success and we will have prosperity. And in Psalm 1:3, the law of his God is in his heart, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and so on. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When we meditate on Scripture, it becomes a part of us. I suggest two things in closing. First of all, get some time alone with God for prayer and meditation. The psalmist points out in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We need to take time to be still in God's presence. Be still and know that I am God. And then secondly, time to think. And again, the psalmist said, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. And so, take time to think through on the Scriptures and compare your own life to the Scriptures day by day, and ask God to make them a very real part of you. Now, in your discussions tonight, discuss why we must use the Scriptures in counseling rather than our own philosophy or ideas, and list several reasons as to their importance. And then I trust that you will be applying yourself very diligently to this instruction of study, hearing, and reading, and memorizing, and meditation. The rest of the class I will turn over to your chairman.